Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free. Select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams. One coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
We are bringing you breaking coverage right now in the double homicide case at Devil's Den State Park in the state of Arkansas. Just outside of Fayetteville is where this park is located, an otherwise very peaceful, very popular state park for families and travelers and hikers alike, and also very busy on a Saturday afternoon at the end of August. We had a moment to talk to a couple who believe they came face to face with the man that they believe was the killer of this husband and wife who were murdered on that trail in front of their two little girls, age 7 and 9. We're going to go to that conversation in just a moment, exclusively here with the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today, and reveal new information that has not yet been revealed by authorities, but eyewitness accounts of what they saw and more new information on the alleged suspect in this case. But to give you some context on this case, it was a normal afternoon in the state park. That husband and wife with their two little girls did not make it out alive. The children did. Clinton and Kristen Brink, 43 and 41, were murdered in cold blood on that trail. Their kids were right there. And now Arkansas State Police are in full-blown manhunt mode for the guy who did it. I will say this, though. Answer your phones or get more people on it, because there's a lot of people I've talked to who have information who are trying to get through to you, and your phone rings and it just hangs up on people, including us. So do better. They're looking for a white male, dark clothes, fingerless gloves, possibly in his 20s, last seen hauling ass out of the park on a black four-door sedan with a license plate taped over. That's not random. That's someone who came prepared to kill and vanish. But here's a part that hasn't been reported until now. Roughly an hour before the murders, another couple hiking that same trail passed a man who made their skin crawl. He stared. He had bright, bloodshot eyes, a weird oversized gear bag that didn't belong on a hike. And the second they walked past him, they knew something felt wrong. They tried to call it in to the state police. They couldn't get through. And now they're talking to us here exclusively at True Crime Today. I'm about to speak with a couple who may have locked eyes with the very killer just minutes before he struck. Let's get into that conversation. The couple does wish to remain anonymous. Thank you guys for joining us. Let's start at the beginning. What was it like yesterday on the trails? I know it was very hot, but take us there.
So we were out, the four of us. So me, my sister, her boyfriend, and my fiance here, and their dog, my sister's dog, who is a good-sized golden doodle, mm-hmm. as well. So the five of us, I guess, left Fayetteville probably around 9, got to the park, 9:30 or so, mm-hmm. And we hiked a couple trails. I think we did the Yellow Rock Trail first,
mm-hmm.
and we finished that one and then went on to Devil's Den Trail right after that, pretty much. We parked at the little parking area closer to the river, not where the visitor center is necessarily.
Okay. All right.
Went up there. Yeah, very hot. We, drinking water all day long.
Yeah.
I will say that the main thing that probably stuck out, or the reason why, we even think that we came across this guy, is because everyone else essentially was in pairs or in families, really, mm-hmm. for the most part. As we're walking, everybody's pretty slow moving, and it's hot. It's a little dangerous out there, right? So everybody's slow moving. This guy was head down and full steam ahead, I would say, right? Not really taking in the nature
sure.
at all. And at this point, we were probably on the section of the trail near the caverns.
Okay.
We had passed the little ice box, and we're going through the cavern section there.
Mm-hmm.
And he just came speeding by us. I think my sister was out in front, and she turned around and looked at me, and he kind of side-eyed all of us as he walked by.
So
really intensely.
Did he come up from behind you, or was he coming towards you?
He was coming straight towards us.
Okay.
I mean, we saw him coming a good minute off, and there's also two directions of the trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of pick which direction you want to go. We went down the riverside first,
mm-hmm.
and then came up. So I guess we went more. We were going east.
Sure.
And kind of looped around and finished the west. So he was walking straight towards us at that point, and again, just really caught us off guard.
Yeah.
He was by himself, moving quickly. And the thing that, we all noticed that he side-eyed us, and my sister turned around and looked at me, and I was already making a face and turning around to look mm-hmm. at him, just kind of naturally, like, what was that?
Yeah.
Reaction. Like, that was odd. We both had that reaction.
Was it an inquisitive look? Sorry? Like, did he slow down when he got near you, or was he still kind of, just giving you a look as he seemingly, would you say it felt like he was on a mission, like he had a place he was going to?
Yes, kind of. He definitely looked us up and down,
Okay.
Like he gave us a good side eye.
Yeah.
He looked at all of us. I know his eyes were blue, kind of blue, sea green tint.
Mm-hmm.
He had stubble on his face, short brown blonde stubble, short blonde hair, maybe like 2 inches long or so.
Mm-hmm.
Had a hat on and that. But it was the look on his face. It was the way he was walking. And then when I turned around to look at him, I noticed that he had a backpack that, I've been sports all my life, all different types. This was not a backpack or like a sports bag that I would have recognized any particular type of sport. It was overly large as well for what you would carry while you're camping,
mm-hmm.
or hiking for that matter. It wasn't right. It was kind of black mesh
mm-hmm.
with, it was kind of half mesh, half vinyl plastic material. And I just never really seen one like that. And that caught my eye for sure. And I just think that was kind of one thing that I noticed and made me kind of turn around and look at him like, what is he doing? And mm-hmm. my sister is a little bit more, emotionally intuitive mm-hmm. than I. And she was like, I did not like his energy or anything like that. And,
yeah.
and that was weird. She immediately turned around to tell me what was, you know, try to talk to me about what was that. So
you had mentioned the facial features. You said some stubble. Did you say blonde hair or brown hair?
It was like dirty blonde.
Dirty
like
blonde.
Like kind of in between, right? You know, dark blonde, light brown.
Was he wearing a hat at the time?
Hair. He was wearing a hat. I would say that it was a dark hat, probably baseball cap style. Mm-hmm. I think I recall seeing one of those. It was like a leather patch on the front of it. I think it was something along those lines. I could see it was like, you know, a patch of, mm-hmm. or something like that on the very front of the cap.
How tall would you say the man was?
He was around my height, maybe a little shorter. So I would go 6'5" to 5'10", somewhere in that range, most likely.
Like, what kind of build are we talking about on this guy?
He a little stocky. Not super thin, but definitely not fat. You know, so
kind of just average.
A good stocky build. Okay. Yeah. I would consider myself quite a thin, tall guy. And he was, you know, much wider than me.
Did he have anything? Like, did you notice a knife on his body or anything? I wonder if that was in the pack. What did you see? Did you see anything physically on him other than what he was wearing?
I did not see anything in his hands. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was kind of grabbing the, you know, like how you hold on to a backpack when you're walking. Mm-hmm. He was holding the sides, the straps, you know, as he was walking by us. I did not see anything, if he had anything in his hands or not. But I tell you, it looked like he had something in his backpack. I mean, you could tell that there was weight in the bottom of that the bag. It looked like it had weight in it. And I turned around to look at him.
How busy were the trails yesterday? I mean, just for perspective here for folks, today we're at 105 degrees with the humidity. So yesterday was very similar. It's a very, very hot day out there. Was there a lot of people on the trail?
There was. We were passing people every 5 to 10 minutes, you know, easily. Mm-hmm. Passing someone passing us, going the other direction. You know, we were, like, again, you can go either way on the trail. So we were passing people. People are coming against the grain. Lots of families. That's the predominant thing, right, is a bunch of parents, lots of kids, lots of couples, obviously, you know, the four of us.
Yeah.
Are a couple, lots of dogs as well. I mean, a lot of dogs out on the trails in general.
Which makes us very odd
for this to
take place in the middle of a Saturday in a very busy trail on a very busy day. That's what makes it all the more odd. It seems that this would happen in a place like this. The odds of getting caught are fairly high. Obviously, they now know some information about him. Were you aware of anything that was amiss while you were out there? Did you find this out after you'd already left?
No, yeah, we didn't find out until this morning. Actually, we were going to eat breakfast, and my fiance was looking on Facebook, and we saw a repost of a post that the sheriff's department had made, you know, announcing that there was a double homicide at Devil's Den yesterday afternoon. We were like, "What?"
Yeah,
we left the park at 1:30, and it says that they were reported at 2:30.
Yeah,
I mean,
it would have happened probably around the time. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think, too, what was so intriguing was as soon as we saw that post, you know, I feel like I didn't notice the man as much. I had the dog strapped to me and was just trying to kind of focus on that. But all three of them said, "Do you remember that man?" And we had no idea the description of him yet. We had no idea what trail it was even on. So I think as we uncovered and found out more. Yeah. It's like, oh man, this is definitely the person that we interacted with, and this is definitely the time frame where we were walking right past him as he went up to this couple. I mean, we interacted with multiple families as we were walking these trails. We interacted with families that had GoPros like on them walking around. And so we all looked back at all of our photos, at all of our videos to see if we could find anything. But it's so eerie to be so close to evil.
Yeah, God, yeah. That, you know? Yeah, I mean, I totally hear you. The next day, I'm sure you were very close to something very, very dark. Mm-hmm. My gosh, I mean, that's quite a thing to wake up to find out that sort of information the next day. Of all the people you saw on the trail when you heard that news this morning, when you saw that post, was that the first person that came to your mind versus all of the other folks that you saw on the trail that day?
By far, the first and only. I mean, like I said, every other person that I saw that we saw together had a family.
They said hello to us.
And everyone was talkative. Sure. I mean, it was a beautiful Saturday. It was hot, but a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And everyone was very, very, very pleasant, right? And this guy was 100% not pleasant.
Yeah.
Very, very single-minded. And gave us, I mean, really a death stare. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Side, did not turn his head, side-eyed us, death stared us down, and kept moving, right?
Yeah.
It was very out of place.
Yeah, that's odd when that sort of thing happens. I know you had mentioned that, or your fiance had mentioned that she was trying to get in contact with the police to share what you just shared with me. Have you gotten through? Because honestly, we've been trying to get through today ourselves as well, and it just rings and hangs up eventually with the state police.
Right. I mean, that was our very first thought was, man, we need to call them. And it's the number that is posted on the Sheriff's Department post. We've called several times, tried several different departments.
Throughout the day, too. Yeah. We called first thing this morning, and we just called right before we got on the phone.
Yeah, I don't know if they're overwhelmed or not. 479-751-6663. I find the 666 ironic, being Devil's Den and this being a double homicide. But yeah, I'm imagining they're overwhelmed right now. I'm wondering why they're... I was actually just walking around Prairie Grove earlier this afternoon, which is where the couple now lives. They moved in from another state recently. And I was just asking around. There's several little antique stores down there. And I was like just asking the folks, the clerks and such, like, hey, did you hear about this? And surprisingly enough, no one really knew about it, which I was kind of surprised to hear about 24 hours into this, that nobody in a town right where this took place, that this was a thing, considering the suspect is at large. I don't know if it's just bad messaging or what, but I found that to be interesting, that folks are unaware of this.
And I think I read several comments. You know, I can't stop thinking about it since we've read about it. Mm-hmm. So just deep diving into it, there are several people who are concerned with the speed of reporting and just of like the, let's get it out there, the blast.
Yeah.
I've had to search for a lot of things and for a lot of information. And unfortunately, you know, with a suspect still at large, I don't think that is the best way to go about it, is to have to search for it.
I agree. I there needs to be more information out there. That's why we're jumping on it too right here. And we're going to just keep pushing it out there.
Which is why we felt inclined. You know, we've been itching at this all day.
Yeah.
Who are we going to talk to about this? Because obviously, I mean,
We
believe 99% that we walked right in front of this guy, you know, right across his path to whatever on earth he was thinking of doing, you know, like.
Sure you did. From what you describe, that very much describes the man that the authorities are putting out there.
Right.
Well, you guys.
As soon as they put out a secondary description of him, I mean, he had on the gloves, the fingerless gloves, I know we've been talking about that all day, that he had those on. They said he had on sunglasses, but I think they were on his cap when he passed us, because that's like a big description.
I saw his eyes very vividly. Like, he definitely did not have sunglasses on. They might have been on his hat. Like I said, I saw the patch. So
if you were to, and I'm sure hopefully at some point here you can get in contact with authorities or we can get them in touch with you. Would you be able to give like a description, to a facial recognition artist that could maybe, do you think you could work with them to give that good of a description from what you believe you saw?
That is possible, but I mean, honestly, our other witnesses, my sister and her fiance, are actually artists. They were literally talking about drawing his face up already.
Okay.
I think I'm going to tell them to go ahead and go through with that. Because they're fantastic artists. So whatever needs to be done with that, we're 100% willing to send to whoever.
Can you please send?
But I think that they can come up with a very accurate rendition.
Could you send that to me when you get that through Facebook? Or could you have your fiance do that? Because I'd love to see that once that gets through, and we can maybe even push it.
Yeah, I know. I'm intrigued. I mean, at the end of the day, one of us could absolutely, or piece it all together to give a good facial description of him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, great.
Absolutely. We all saw him, and we all had the same reaction. All three of us that were really paid attention. I mean, she was walking the dog and not really focused on him. So
Now it's time to find him. And with the information you have, hopefully you can play a role in that. Please do send that to me. If I get in touch with any authorities, I will pass your information to them so you can do that unless you get to them first. But you guys, thank you so much for talking with us and giving us your experience. Have a safe drive on your way back home, wherever it may be. I don't want to put it out there. But thank you. And please do anything else you have. Please let us know. And please do send me that drawing when you get it.
Awesome. Absolutely. We definitely will. Also, I don't know if we mentioned this either. I feel like we all kind of agreed that he was probably in his mid to late 20s.
Oh, okay. Oh yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that on social media at all either. The age of the suspect that they're looking for?
Yes.
Okay.
I would definitely agree. Mid to late 20s.
And how odd was it the fact that he was wearing, from what we understand, you know, black clothing, for the black shirt, black pants, the gloves? That seems not like something you'd go hiking, even if you were like an experienced hiker. I don't think that's necessarily apparel to wear at 100 degree temperatures.
Absolutely not. And especially for the time of day, extremely hot. Right. Everyone else, every single other person, including ourselves included, wearing athletic gear. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're very breathable. He was wearing full cotton clothing and it was all black. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Very out of place, very odd. Everything about it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for reaching out and giving us that information today.
Of course. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
They found the kids running and screaming for help. And then they had stated their mother told them to run as far and fast as they can. And she said, she said one of the girls, said that they stopped running when they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore.
Shocking new details coming in as we learn more about the Devil's Den double homicide just outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas. My name is Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. We have sat down with a 911 Washington County dispatch operator who was there at the time that the calls started coming in on Saturday the 26th from Devil's Den State Park. This is someone who heard those initial pleas for help, those initial cries, and also was extremely close to the voices of the children who knew that their parents were being murdered just down the trail. What was a lovely Saturday afternoon, sunny, warm. It should have been a great day. Instead, it ended in tragedy. Let's begin with this interview. And my first question for the 911 dispatcher, take us back to that afternoon. How did this all begin in the dispatch center? What happened as the initial calls started coming in?
Yeah, that day I worked 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. I had picked up coverage for someone who called in, so I'm normally not there until 2. Mm-hmm. And just before 2 o'clock, we start getting calls. I received a direct phone call from a young lady that worked there in the visitor center. And I had told her, oh, yeah, it sounds like we're already taking a call. And, you know, when we hear of kids being lost or something like that, that's what we were first thinking, is that, like, they just maybe got separated from their parents. And then there was only 3 of us in the room at the time because it's not super busy on Saturdays.
Sure.
And the other 2 girls, you know, they're taking their calls and we all just kind of look at each other like, oh, no, this is going to be a big one.
So I'd like you to give me some perspective here. What exactly took place that from what we know how these children ended up? Tell me what happened here between the parents not being with the children to the children getting into some safe custody. Walk me through that whole scenario.
From what I understand, the children were found by another set of adults. I'm not sure how many or if they were, you know, a couple or whatever. Another dispatcher took that portion of the call and they found the kids running and screaming for help. And then they had stated their mother told them to run as far and fast as they can. And she said she said one of the girls said that they stopped running when they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore. That part still gets me. I have children as well.
Sure, no, I do too. I'm the same age as the parents, and I have a daughter very close to the same age, and we've hiked in that same place. And
I was just there not long ago with my family. And you know, my kids are a little older, but I mean, I've had kids in my life my entire life. Yeah. And it's just, there's certain things that you have a soft spot for, no matter how seasoned we are in dispatch. It's just some things just kind of get you. And I mean, I've buried one of my own children, so I've lived a pretty hard life.
Sure.
So it takes a lot to get me choked up. And I remember, just kind of fast forwarding a bit and I'll circle back, but I had to call state police because we just try to keep them informed with every detail we get.
Sure.
As soon as we started taking the call, we dispatch it out over our radios before we even have a formal BOLO. We just say, hey, this, we're taking a call. BOLO for this type of vehicle, all we know is it's a black vehicle. You know, it's really not a lot to go on, but they may pay attention to one driving erratically that they wouldn't normally or something.
Sure. And I want to get to the vehicle in a few moments, but I want to
talk. You keep me in line because I talk.
Sure. No, I hear you. And there's so much to that we want to get across. Let's go back to the mother saying, run as far and as fast as you can. There's been reports that the father was initially, these are unconfirmed, that the father was initially attacked, mm-hmm. the mom got back to the car with the kids, and then she went back. Can you confirm or dispel any of that?
I can't confirm that. It's not lining up with what I believe we were told in our initial call.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, other people found the kids running and crying, and they heard their mom specifically ask him, why are you doing this? So that's what we were told. And those girls were speaking directly to the park ranger that was speaking to one of our most senior dispatchers.
The child asking, why are you doing this? The children asking that to the perpetrator?
No, mom.
Mom, okay.
No. Mom asked, why are you doing this? So dad was stabbed first.
Okay.
And I believe the initial attack was directly in his chest.
Oh, God. Okay.
According to the little girls.
Mm-hmm.
And there was people that brought them to the visitor center from somewhere along the path. I mean, from what we understand and looking at the map, they ran pretty far on their own.
Really? What portion of the park did this take place in?
I don't recall the name of but I remember it being the lower trail is what they were talking about.
Okay, that's what I've been hearing
too. I'm not sure what that really means. I've not been out there a lot. I've only been out there just near the waterfall and one of the paths close to that. So initially, you know, we're getting this call. We're just all kind of taking information. The main dispatcher was, you know, she called back because she had more questions. She wanted to talk directly to the children. And I remember her saying, you know, if you can't answer these questions, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we were getting third-party information, and it's just kind of difficult. We want as much description as we can. So I called a park ranger back, and I was like, hey, I know you're, like, not able to probably answer or ask these questions, but whoever saw the vehicle, can they tell if it was a two-door or a four-door? Because initially, we had no idea.
Sure.
And that's where I got with that, but he had a female call me back, and she tried to give me as much as she could. I asked just, you know, because they kept calling it a sports car at first. And I was like, well, that could be a lot of things. Is it a muscle car or is it a foreign car? And so we were able to determine it was not a muscle car, at least, and go from there. But
let me ask you this. How people, obviously, we have witnesses, as far as we know, that saw this vehicle leaving, that saw this man leaving. What stood out? What made this man look like there was something about him to pay attention to versus everybody else coming and going from the park that day?
Well, I'm not sure who said it and where this determination came from, but somebody had mentioned he also had possibly had blood on him.
Okay.
And there were people saying, you know, that he just acted strange. And when he left, was the person I spoke with that gave the vehicle information, she said it was loud and he left so rapidly that it upset her that he was driving that way. Because at first, that's all she knew, is like, gosh, he's driving like a jerk.
Yeah.
And
like a jerk, like a rear end, as in a getting out of there fast, like escaping the scene, kind of that sort of a okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what caught her attention. So that's why she was only able to really see the rear end of the car from what she described to me. That's how come she couldn't tell me whether it was two door or four doors.
Sure.
I just asked her, okay, well then were the taillights red or white or clear? You know, there's different colors of taillights. And so we started there and she said they were red taillights. And I didn't see state mention any of that. Maybe it's not important to them, but if I were trying to identify a car, I'd want every detail.
Yeah, everything is important. Any small detail that people don't even realize they may have is important right now, especially in the first 24 to 48 hours, which we're still in. What other things did you hear from other people who had called in to the dispatch center with their experiences? Obviously, you heard from the folks that we talked to, but I imagine there is others that called in that day. What other experiences did you hear?
Well, we had a lot of people calling and just asking, am I safe? Is it okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and what's going on? And it's a really difficult question for us to answer because we're not allowed to really say, because if you don't feel safe, you don't feel safe. But, and if it were me, I would not feel safe, because at this time, we still have not determined if there was any connection or if this was a random attack. Yeah. And we all personally just believe it, even though stabbings are typically personal, we believe that this was an ambush attack. He just decided to, that was them, because they're new here. So we're trying to figure out what kind of connection they could have possibly had.
Yeah.
So I did speak to a couple other vehicle witnesses. They usually pass that kind of stuff off to me because they make fun of me. They say it's my TISM vehicles. There was a gentleman that called towards the end of my shift that I had been waiting. I was waiting for somebody who knew some details about vehicles, like kind of like I do. He also agreed that the vehicle was very loud. That's what caught his attention. He was out with his wife, I believe on a hill. They live out there. And he said, you know, what caught his attention is how loud the exhaust was. And just, they sounded like they were driving really rapid. So he looked over and he was telling me, he's like, I saw a black vehicle, all blacked out, black on black, leaving. But he said it had a dual exhaust and four exhaust tips, so two on each side. And he believed it to be maybe a BMW or something. And I mentioned to him, well, I had another witness state that she believed it seemed like a Mazda. I said, so it sounds like we can all agree it's probably a foreign vehicle. Mm-hmm. And he said he would without a doubt 100% say it's a foreign vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I had asked him a few more questions. I had another lady that vehicle, I guess when she was leaving the park, almost hit her. And she said around 140 or 145, she thought, maybe somewhere in there. But she couldn't really remember what time she was heading to the park. Mm-hmm. He was leaving and almost hit her head on. So I asked her for a front end description. She said that the lights, like it was a low profile car. The lights were more fitted to the vehicle, like oblong. I asked about shape and everything. The other lady originally said that the tail lights were rounded or curved. Mm-hmm. So not square. And then the second two people could tell me for certain it was a four door. So that was helpful.
Are there any cameras in the park that would have caught the vehicle on camera where we would, or do they have that? I'm surprised we don't have more information out to the public.
I know.
That's my biggest thing, because I cover hundreds of these cases all over the country, and this is the time that the public needs this information.
Because they can look.
This is now. And you're going to lose them if we don't. We need a clear vehicle description if it's available. And we have plenty of eyewitnesses that we could get a sketch done. I don't know why we don't have one done yet. I'm not trying to be critical here, but my God.
No, I was frustrated because I also initially asked the ranger. I said, well, can you start asking people that are there? Have they taken pictures? Everybody takes pictures. Yeah. There's always pictures of cars in the background. They may not know what they have. I was like, send them all to me. I have time.
Yeah.
I will look at them. I can tell you for certain, almost every vehicle that ever crosses my path, I can tell you what year, make, and model it is.
Yeah.
Just by little, even if like a Kia Optima, the years that they had the side markers on the side, I know those things. Yeah. And it was just like really hard for me because that's something I can do. That's something I can help with.
Do we know why they're not giving out much information yet? I mean, it's basic,
I think it's because they believe this person will be watching social media. And then if they put too much information out there that they may already have, it could ruin the investigation for them. Mm-hmm. I do know that there was a young lady that posted initially on the Northwest Arkansas Bad Drivers page, mm-hmm. Where, you know, Highway 71 turns into college in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And so there's a vehicle that's driving extremely erratically, passing people in the turning lane,
uh-huh.
You know, and it was that, and it's a black Ford Fusion and it has red taillights that are rounded. Now, granted, that's not a foreign car.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know that it had a lot of exhaust like the other two people said.
It may just be bad driver, which is why there's the Facebook page to begin with. Yeah.
Right. But it did seem to have black tape over a paper tag. That's the number one.
That's
thing
a key piece.
Like.
That is very, yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah. But then you have to think, are there people doing this? Like, if this was random, maybe there's a group of people protesting something or just committing random acts of violence, and that's their thing. They're going to put tapes over their heads. You have no idea.
It's hard to...
There's so many different...
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that would be a stretch of an assumption to make at this point, but it certainly is something that if it was being posted on the bad drivers of NWA, that will also give us more descriptions and more places to look for cameras, whether they be street cameras or whether they be store cameras or house cameras, Ring cameras, all of that. I would imagine we're going to find more info on this vehicle. The faster, the better to get that out, unless they already know who this man is, which if they do, bravo to them. That's great.
And
if you don't, we need the info.
The initial public bolo it was a police bolo. I'm not sure what the public was able to hear. Did have a Mazda 6, mm-hmm. a 2012 Mazda 6.
Mm-hmm.
It was black in color, but it did not have tinted windows like everybody said, and it had a Connecticut plate.
Mm-hmm.
But that was later determined by one of our sergeants that, hey, that vehicle was here when the crime scene tape was up. Like, they were here as a couple going mm-hmm. hiking. Like, they showed up afterwards. Yeah, it couldn't be them. So they took that part out of the bolo and just said that it's a four-door black, which is one of our most hated things, a white passenger car or a four-door black car. You know, those are like two of the most common cars ever.
Yeah.
So that's where I came into play. It was like, I at least determined it wasn't a muscle car because they kept calling it mm-hmm. a sports car. And a couple people thought maybe it was a more fancier, nicer model car. So mm-hmm. that's where I was like, okay, does it have any dents?
Yeah.
Stickers, scratches, paint damage, anything you can think of that would help identify the car. And the ladies all said, no, it seemed very new, very clean.
Uh-huh.
And one lady said it seemed more like a fancy Toyota. She's like, what's the upgraded model for a Toyota or a Honda? And mm-hmm. I said, well, it's either Acura or Lexus.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I think it could have been an Acura.
Yeah.
And then the man I spoke with, when I was speaking to him, I thought I had two people say it sounded like a stick shift because they were the same people that said it had a loud exhaust. The first woman I spoke with, and I don't understand why they're not. I gave all that information to state, like, hey, two people have said this vehicle had a loud exhaust mm-hmm. and it sounded like a manual transmission. They don't make a lot of manual transmissions these days.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think it could be an Acura.
Yeah.
There are some Toyotas and there's even Subarus that are six shifts. So like we can narrow it down somewhat.
Yeah, we can. I mean, it's the fog of war right now while all this is going on. I want to go back to the stabbing itself. Mm-hmm. As you said earlier, from what you believe in the reporting you got from the kids speaking, that the father was stabbed first. Do we know, I'm not trying to be gory or anything, but how many times? Was this multiple stab situation? Was this a quick, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I believe so, but I have not been told so. I just, from the sounds of the initial statements from the children, it sounds like they were possibly stabbed multiple times, mm-hmm. but they saw dad get stabbed in the chest and mom told them to run and she heard him, they heard her ask, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said they just ran until they couldn't hear their mom screaming anymore.
Oh my God.
And
so the kids saw this happening is what we understand. Yes. They actually witnessed
it. Yes, and they did call him a stranger. So to my knowledge, the kids do not know who he was. You never know what they might forget under trauma. But
sure. Has there been anything that you've seen or heard that points to any sort of direction on this guy, if he was just completely random out there and just chose this family, or if this was a targeted attack. I mean, it seems obviously it's insane to begin with, but to do this on a hot summer day in the middle of the afternoon on a very busy hiking trail, this should be a place you're going to get caught if you're going to do this thing. That's right, why it doesn't make a lot of sense. Too. Yeah.
No, and then like everybody's saying, his clothing kind of stood out. People mm-hmm. obviously noticed him, but you don't realize what you notice until it's too late sometimes.
Sure.
I'm very glad that the other people saw his eyes, because you can tell a lot about a person about their eyes, and the fact that they said they were blue or green, that indicates that he's probably not Hispanic or Latino. Mm-hmm. I had one lady tell me he kind of had a tan, and that's not lining up with everybody else.
In Arkansas in summer, that could be almost anyone.
I mean, yeah. Completely honest. One thing that me and another dispatcher discussed is we were initially told he was possibly wearing a black tank top. So we're mm-hmm. trying to figure out where the long sleeves came into play. Yeah. I'm assuming more credible witnesses said no, mm-hmm. he for sure had long sleeves. So, or maybe at one point he had the tank top on and then he put the long sleeve back on, or, you know, I don't know.
Or vice versa. Did it come off? Was he looking different, I wonder, before the stabbing and after the stabbing? Like, did he take something off and maybe had blood stains or something of that nature?
Yeah. And see, somebody did mention that he possibly looked like he had blood on him. And I just don't know if that was creditable or not. His gloves were... he had on black gloves that were allegedly fingerless. So mm-hmm. that still stands true as far mm-hmm. as I know from everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's just odd to wear that when you're not riding a bicycle out there. So
yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah. I have a friend that owns the car wash in West Fork and he has cameras. And I said, you know what? And we also I immediately had Greenland and West Fork PD. I was working that radio. It's called Small Towns. And there's mm-hmm. 11 different agencies. As soon as I heard this was going on, I had them check Brentwood rest area because somebody could go there to clean up.
Sure.
It's easy river access too. Mm-hmm. So I had them go there. They checked all of their city and county limits. You know, we kind of all band together. And then I reached out to my friend that owns the car wash in West Fork and asked him to check his cameras for anyone dumping mm-hmm. stuff in the trash can and just looking suspicious, black or dark colored vehicle. And so he's going to do that. But I haven't been able to run that.
As of right now, as we're talking, has there been any leads on finding this vehicle at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I'm pretty good friends with the mm-hmm. director of state police's dispatch. I'm pretty good friends with Trubel's director of dispatch, and mm-hmm. she promised she would reach out to me if there was any updates. She was off duty as well, but as far as I know, my best of my knowledge is what's out there is as much as we've got. And they intend on updating the public, as soon as they know a direction to go.
Sure.
But sometimes I guess it's best until you have all the pieces that it's best to keep the ones that you have in your pocket is how I guess they're going about it.
Yeah.
We Washington County initially went out there and mm-hmm. then it got turned over to state police because it is a state park.
I know the FBI has offered assistance. It's now up to the state to take that assistance. Do you know if they've accepted it yet?
I don't know if they've accepted, but I know that they wouldn't turn it down.
Okay.
I don't think at this point they would turn anybody's help down,
sure.
Especially an organization like the FBI. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even put it past them to accept the U.S. Marshals as well. As soon as we have an identification is probably when U.S. Marshals will get involved, if I had to guess. That's just how things have gone in the past.
Sure.
I'm hoping anybody and everybody... I mean, we've definitely doubled police presence, and I know state police is known to bring in other troops. So, mm-hmm. like here, we have Troop L that does Benton County and Washington County, and so on. And then we'll have Troop H. We had when we send out a bolo and dispatch, it goes to all of NWA mm-hmm. Area. So it goes to the state of Arkansas, basically, for the most part. Like we'll send out a bolo, so we send out a terminal message via ACIC immediately to any agency. And we at first just thought at that time they were just wounded stabbing victims. We hadn't made contact with their bodies. Mm-hmm. So when we first sent that out, so then when we handed it over to state police, it's up to them to send out the homicide bolo.
Sure.
And they did.
Yep.
So, but I even, I remember as soon as I heard they were deceased, I gave that out. I said, this will be upgraded to a homicide.
Oh, wow.
And so we consider him armed and dangerous. Obviously, we don't know any further. He used a knife, in my opinion, to avoid the sound of a gun. Sure. That's going to alert everybody.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.